Remember the U.S.-China trade war? Well, a deal meant to ease economic tensions between Washington and Beijing is set to end tomorrow. This was signed way back in February 2020 by then-President Trump, and that was just 1 month before the pandemic hit much of the world and upended global trade. So, where does the trade war stand now, and where does it go? Let's pose that to Robin Farzad. He's the host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. And hey, Robin, easy assignment
here. Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Okay, so under the deal reached between the Trump White House and Beijing, China was supposed to buy $200 billion more of American goods and services. The deadline comes up tomorrow, and a mere 10% of that target has been hit. So what happened?
I mean, look, people forget how this battle was played daily through the press, quips, asides, reading the reactions of trade bureaucrats beneath Trump and Xi themselves. I mean, that for rhetorical value, it was really valuable to this White House. But yes, you're right. Fundamentally, an ambitious target of $200 billion more in goods and services from the U.S. last year and this year versus 2017, that was laudable. But Beijing, according to the Peterson Institute, was kind of meh about enforcement. Mm. And then the pandemic happened. And at best, you're at a tenth of that promise. And in reality, a lot of things you were able to fudge around and claim you did and point the finger at the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, one of the big questions in this trade war was who pays, right? When the U.S. puts an import tax on, say, a Chinese-made bike, somebody pays that, right? Either the Chinese factory or the American bike shop or the American consumer. What did we learn about who pays?
Overwhelmingly, the tariffs were absorbed by corporations and then consumers. Look how the Farm Belt needed various kickbacks and reassurances as China bought more grain and soy from places like South America. And in practice, China has commanded so much of the global manufacturing capacity in the supply chain that U.S. trade counterparties had really no choice but to continue dealing. Higher costs be damned, especially with the pandemic complicating so much in procurement. If anything, now with inflation, you wonder how much of this has passed through to the U.S. consumer.
Yeah, the continuing inflation conversation. One of the political promises of putting tariffs on imports was that it would punish factories far away in places like China and bring factories back here to the U.S. The numbers suggest it didn't really happen, did it?
That's minimal. I mean, so much has happened with respect to automation and parts of the supply chain. If you look at, for example, building an iPhone, how difficult that would have been in the United States. There was a New York Times investigation on this. You could say that you want to bring back an air conditioning factory or refrigerator factory or hair buzzer factory. What we did get the United States to do more of is import more from friendlier alternatives, including Vietnam and Mexico. And that's also been underscored, the importance of which in this latest chip shortage that has hampered Detroit. So the lesson is you can't count so much, not just on one or two or three Asian nations.
So quickly, where do we go from here? The Biden administration is talking about keeping the tariffs, but there's also no sign that Beijing's going to change its behavior, which brought the tariffs in the first place.
Welcome to the new Cold War. And while Joe Biden might not saber-rattle daily about it like Trump, he and Xi have doubled down on the need to compete, confront, and cooperate. So there is a lot in that frenemyship.
Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Robin, thank you as always. Happy New Year.
My pleasure. Happy New Year, Scott.